We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Throughout the election, newly elected President Biden promised revolutionary changes in his first 100 days.
There's multiple things that are going to have to be taking place at the same time.
Since inauguration, President Biden has signed a record number of executive orders.
We have to act. We have to act.
WPHT presents The Road to 100 Days. Now, here's your host, Dom Giordano.
Thanks for joining us. Our brand new special, The First 100 Days of President Joe Biden, Part 1. I can hardly wait till we get to the end of these 100 exciting days. Liz Peek is the person we thought of to bring on first, since we had her on recently. She's a columnist for FoxNews.com. She's also a contributor at the Fox News Channel, and she's also a contributing columnist at TheHill.com. And Liz, you broke down early on where we were with Joe Biden. The question I have for you is, what surprises you, if anything, out of all this?
I think, nice to be with you. Thank you for that introduction. I think the most surprising and also very discouraging aspect of Joe Biden's startup is that he has made a complete mockery of all the promises he made on the campaign trail. So normally that's not totally unexpected, but Joe Biden is meant to be the good guy in the room, the decent guy. He spoke with such passion about healing the country, bringing the country together, working across the aisle. All those were supposed to be his calling card impulses, right? That he was going to reach out to Republicans, kind of stop the nasty rhetoric, et cetera, et cetera. And honestly, he has just completely abandoned any sense of trying to work with the other team, any sense of damping down the bitterness and discord in the country. In fact, I think he's revved it up. When he spends, as he did, his first many days in office, canceling and obliterating absolutely every single thing that Donald Trump spent 4 years building, even the things that are arguably tremendously successful, how can anyone interpret that except as the act of a sort of petty, vengeful, kind of not very bright president? I mean, for example, on immigration, and I think this is going to be a very big issue in 2022, a year that will define whether or not Joe Biden's presidency is a success. On immigration, he took aim early on at Trump's various measures that were hard fought and hard-worn efforts to work with the countries to the south of us to stem the flow of illegal caravans into the country. By the way, a flow of caravans which horrified everybody. I mean, the entire country, when Obama was president, was horrified to see that our borders were porous, we were not set up to protect them, etc. So dismantling what Trump achieved on that is honestly the works of a madman, in my view, because it'll really haunt Joe Biden. It already is, because, you know, we have this flood already happening, record number of young people coming into the country, unassisted minors. And so what's happening? Joe Biden has to reopen the detention centers that were made
the same places,
so much about when Trump was president. So,
well, and the added factor here is we're in the middle of COVID-19. And people, Trump at CPAC, Liz, said, we're going to educate these kids at the border, but your kids can't get back to school. So what's the motivation here with Biden? It doesn't even seem to be this is the issue he has to curry favor with the left. It seems like he, in his own mind, feels this is what America is, this perverted form of welcoming. Is that it, do you think?
Oh, I just think he wants to do exactly the opposite of every single thing Donald Trump did. And of course, and I got to tell you, there's no question, and this has been sort of patched up and and hidden from view over the last month or two, progressives run the Democratic Party. There's no question about it. The money, the energy, it's like the Tea Party several years ago. I mean, that is where the energy is in the Democrat Party. And if they don't, if you don't go along with the woke crowd, the AOC, the squad, et cetera, their immediate impulse is to primary you. And in many cases, let's face it, it's worked. They've toppled longstanding Democrat legislators, even some black legislators who didn't go along with their far left agenda. So people are really genuinely afraid of that. Chuck Schumer is afraid of that because there has been talk about AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, possibly primarying Chuck Schumer. So he's, I think, everyone in the party has moved far to the left to curry favor with that group, including Joe Biden. And I think he just feels like, you know what, open door, no one's going to complain about that because the party's really got my back here. Well, he's wrong. A lot of people are going to complain about it. And by the way, particularly black Americans, black traditional Democrat voters at the low end of the income ladder whose jobs and livelihoods are most threatened by people who are in the country illegally. There's no doubt about that. And I think they get it. They know this is not for them.
I think this plays beautifully. That's why at CPAC, President Trump ran with it during the 2020 campaign. There were other issues, COVID, that took over. He didn't talk about immigration that much. But you're right. If done in a reasonable way, without getting out there, reasonable people, even in the suburbs, are going to say, you know what? This is overwhelming. We can't handle this. This is not a good thing. I want to do it the right way.
Yeah, and I think it's an embarrassment. I mean, when other countries have these problems, we think, wow, you know, what an unbelievably poorly run country. Well, you know, take a look. And, you know, the reason Trump didn't talk a lot about immigration during the election was he had solved the problem. That doesn't mean that there aren't always people coming to this country overstaying their visas and all the rest, but it wasn't a big problem. Guess what? Now it's going to be a big problem again. In 2022, it's going to be a big issue.
We're talking with Liz Peek, who's a contributor at FoxNews.com and the Fox News Channel and TheHill.com. And we love having her on here in Philadelphia. Do you think it's the same guidance that Biden, you know, it's not just his empathy reaching across the aisle that he sold, but he has the expertise. He knows everybody. He knows how deals are cut. When it comes to the stimulus package, which is going to be shot down in the Senate, and people that need that $1,400 are going to have to wait a good long time before they get it.
So I think this is a kind of a watershed moment because this $1.9 trillion bill, I have to take some pleasure in having been one of the first people to stand up and say, no, we don't need this, because the two emergencies that Biden is selling it on, the economic emergency and COVID, are both fast disappearing. The economy is roaring back to life. The only thing holding back the economy is COVID and the states that are locked down. If you take New York and California, it's about a quarter of our country's GDP, a huge element. Both states have been pretty much locked down. And COVID now is down, what, 75% in terms of cases over the last several weeks. This is being solved. The truth is we do not need $1.9 trillion, and especially since over a trillion dollars of the last two bills are still unspent.
That's right.
So this is a sham. It's a fraud on the American people. Joe Biden probably doesn't know that. I really don't know what Joe Biden knows. I don't know who is directing traffic in the White House. I have no idea why it is they want to back this bill that is quickly, I think really quickly, becoming less popular with the American people. But you're right. I mean, it was all about how, yeah, he could really work with Republicans. So those dutiful Republicans trotted over to the Oval Office, had a little sit down with Joe, wandered out only to find out that he completely ignored what they had to say. What they had to say, to remind everyone, is that, yes, there's a need. It's a need to quickly put in place checks and extended unemployment. Here's $600 billion on top of the $900 billion we passed in December. This will do. This is a good outcome. And Joe Biden completely dismissed that. And instead, we have truly an atrocity. I spent last weekend going through it line by line. There are things like $10 million for emergency protection of Native American languages. I am not exaggerating. There are so many stupid things in this bill, it makes your eyes bleed. And there is absolutely no justification for it whatsoever. So I think, you know, it just confirms that everything that Biden ran on was a complete fraud.
Yeah, and I agree. More and more it's becoming apparent. He's not on top of these details, on top of that. It's hard to know what he's pushing and not. Liz, parting question for Liz Peek. We're at about a one-third mark of the first 100 days, and Biden has been incredibly active, if you look at executive orders, or pushing the envelope almost to a socialist tint. But make a prediction now over the rest of this 100 days. Do you see this settling down because the public's getting aroused? I see it more the other way. He's going to put his foot on the gas even more.
I think that's the case, and it is really worrisome. The only good news is that Republicans, I think, will be energized by this. I think people will be so horrified by all the things that Biden has done and undone, including backing away from a very robust energy independence program. And, by the way, stepping away from Israel and trying to torpedo, doing everything they can to torpedo the Abraham Accords. I don't know anyone who really understands what's going on in the Middle East who's not horrified by this. It is such a clear win that we got the Gulf Arab states and Israel to come together to confront Iran instead of us having to confront Iran, right? So instead, these boneheads at the State Department and people like John Kerry are just so enamored with the failed JCPOA, the Iran nuke deal, that they want to go back to that. Anyway, the answer is I think this is going to really help Republicans take back Congress in 2022. And boy, oh boy, is that important.
Oh, without a doubt, Liz. Thank you so much, as always. And again, when do your columns appear at foxnews.com? How often?
My signature column, if you will, comes out Monday morning at 5 a.m. And this morning's has to do with the cancellation of Dr. Seuss.
I missed that. I wish we could do a whole hour.
I recommend it.
Yes.
It's already got over 2,000 comments, and I love to see that. People are pretty engaged with this column. I've heard from people all over the country. So, you know, I hope you read it. I hope you enjoy it.
Well, look, Liz, if we had a talk 20 years ago, we said that Dr. Seuss, Kate Smith on my show, people brought up in the same vein. There's nobody more that people enjoy, and he's not going to be replaced by anybody. It's some cancellations you get, you know they're coming. But Dr. Yeah. Seuss, the ferocity of this is where we are right now.
Oh, it's beyond ignorant. And what, of course, will be the unintended consequence is that there are probably thousands of kids who will never fall in love with reading because their parents will think, oh, gosh, I really shouldn't read Hop on Pop because I've been told there may be racist elements. Read the column. I think you'll enjoy it. It's so stupid.
Absolutely. Liz Peek, thank you so much. Thanks for joining us on this first 30 or 40 days, whatever it is. Thank you for joining us, Liz.
Hey, it's my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me on.
All right, there's Liz Peek here on Talk Radio 1210. And Liz is a go-to on all kinds of issues, particularly Joe Biden. She's very, very insightful. Coming up, part two of our special, Bill Donahue is the head of the Catholic League. And Bill is all over this Equality Act and the other things that Biden has engaged in. And this big issue blowing up with Biden in the first 30 or 40 days is, I'm a devout Catholic. I don't care what you say I am, even though I'm flying in the face of every Catholic teaching I can find. Straight ahead on our special, The First 100 Days, Part 1, with Dom and Dan here on Talk Radio 1210.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
WPHT presents The Road to 100 Days, a close look at Biden's first days in office. Now, here's your host, Dom Giordano.
Hey, welcome in, everyone. Our special, I don't know if this is the fifth or sixth, but it might be the most important. The Biden administration, the vaunted first 100 days, well, part one, how much damage has been done? What's the best thing that's happened during this? I don't know. That's why I bring on smart people to help with that. And a guy who was born ready to do that is our friend Bill Donahue in New York, the president of the Catholic League. Bill, welcome back, and I'll ask you that question. What has surprised you out of the first third of the vaunted 100 days here?
What has surprised me the most is the fact that the media have shown total disinterest in the obvious mental decline of the president.
Wow. I know that, Bill, we played, and I was reading Australia and some foreign media. They're running with that. They talk about that directly. What makes you, you're not a doctor, neither am I, though, but what makes you say that they're not looking at that, that it's obvious?
Well, first of all, just take a look at the media coverage. I mean, and I don't say this with any relish, but let's face it. In 1988, he had two brain aneurysms. People don't generally do too well with their cognitive abilities following that. And there's obviously a cover-up. I mean, the man was able to stay in his basement and never subject himself to the press. And he was rewarded by that by a supine media. He's never had a press conference. He's been in there now for 40 days. He has not been on a single Sunday morning talk show. His wife shows up and bails him out for scripted interviews. He loses his train of thought all the time. And they won't publish the schedule of him or the vice president. So we have no idea what time he gets up, what he does during the day. They won't release the visitor log to find out who he's meeting with. This is all a cover-up. And the media at some point will out him. I'm not saying it'll happen right away. But at some point when they've decided, because they're working with the administration, they're the arm of the administration, there's no longer a fourth estate. They've joined in with the first estate. Once they find out that they've gotten everything they need out of him, because he's a puppet, then they will betray him. And then someone will go to Jill, his wife, and say he's not ready to continue. And then it'll be Empathy City. And then Kamala Harris will be the next president of the United States.
Now, that would be unprecedented. Let me see if I can push back, because it's certainly plausible what you're saying here, Bill. And that is, I see Jill Biden every bit loving where she is right now in
yes.
that role, and that she will not give it up no matter what. I think you're right. Democrats were kind of banking, hey, it would be to our benefit. Let him do the dirty work. You know, the beginning, look moderate, even though he's not. And then we will have Kamala Harris as president. But we've never had, even in the worst times, the 25th Amendment come into play. I don't think it could work that way. I agree with you. It would have to be that Jill Biden and Joe Biden go along with it.
I think that's what will happen. And I don't know what will happen this summer, this fall, next year. But it's going to happen within the next year or so. And, you know, I mean, one part of me feels sad about the guy because, let's face it, this could happen to anybody. But the thing is, that what bothers me is that these people, you could actually say that some of them who know that he's been in this decline for some time, and it's a great cover-up. This is going to be a major book someday that they all knew about the morning meetings and didn't know what he was doing. Is this not a form of elder abuse? Again, I don't want to pile on the guy. I feel sorry for him in that respect. But he is president of the United States. Why is it that the media are not making a big deal about what happened about 10 days ago? When a bunch of Democrats went and said that he should not be allowed to make nuclear decisions by himself, even though he's the commander-in-chief,
we need a committee to study this? That's the most telling thing of all. Democrats, you're right, doing that.
Right.
They said the same thing with Trump. So, and look, I would tell you this. I agree with that analysis. I'm very reluctant, though, of 25th Amendment and things like that.
Right.
This would
right.
almost have to be voluntary.
It would be.
And I'm even more amazed. It's almost like what was the show that made Netflix, where without a vote being cast, Kamala Harris becomes president. One of the least likely, she couldn't get out of the starting gate even in the Democrat primaries.
Right. Well, somebody's making decisions, and it's not him. All right, he's being informed. And the question is, the media have not really been scratching around to find out, although there are some signs such as Politico, which is a left-leaning but still respectable media outlet, they're raising questions. Why are they keeping us in the dark? Why doesn't he answer anybody? Where are the media in terms of the Sunday morning talk shows? He never showed, even when he was a candidate, he was never. Now they can't let her, Harris, go on TV because that the obvious question is, where is he?
Right.
So she's kept in the dark as well, and we're left with Jen Psaki.
Yeah. So, Bill, a couple of other things have happened around this, too, that are directly in your lane at the Catholic League. I made this point the other day, and how difficult it is for the bishops, and you are a very good advisor and strategist on this. It's a difficult spot with Biden, devout Catholic. The bishop or archbishop of New Orleans told Catholics serious stuff here about stem cells, abortion, and the Johnson & Johnson product. Now, I thought Johnson & Johnson denied it before. They haven't this time. Okay, that's good. But if we're really talking about life, if we're talking about things like this Equality Act, which you've laid out how bad this will be for any religious institution, they're going to step up on that. I think they have to step up even more right now on what's going on with Joe Biden and Catholicism.
Well, you know, there's a war going on. Let's face it, when Biden won the election, Jose Gomez, who's the Archbishop of Los Angeles, and he's the head of the Bishop's Conference, and he's a good man, he wrote him a nice thank you letter. Not thank you, I'm sorry, a congratulatory letter. Then when Biden was inaugurated, at that point he expressed some concerns about his support for advancing moral evils. He's talking about partial birth abortion, abortion in general, and the like, and his war on religious liberty. So that then engendered a few bishops push back against Gomez, McElroy out in San Diego and Tobin in New Jersey. But most of the bishops were in support of Gomez for saying, listen, here's our concern. If Biden, who is a rabid supporter of abortion, there's not an abortion that anyone has ever had that he couldn't justify, including partial birth. He is against religious liberty. He's in favor of the Equality Act. He's in favor of genetic engineering. The guy is oppositional to the Catholic Church as an extremist in every public policy issue from school choice to cloning. And so the bishops are concerned that if he is sold his brand of Catholicism, which is say that he carries his rosary beads around him and he's, quote, devout, if that's all it need do is have this symbolic exterior posture and you can work against the Catholic Church and still be called a, quote, good Catholic, then that makes the bishops an alternative voice to him. That's what the Catholic left and the secular left are trying to do, which is why I've been writing about it for the last couple of days. That's their goal. They don't want the bishops to have the last say. These are pro-abortion Catholics, including pro-abortion nuns. Yes, there are pro-abortion nuns.
Oh, we've had them on. But, Bill, to the point here, I think they've already succeeded with this. Not just a good Catholic, but the media loves this devout Catholic. And you are good at telling me, look, Dom, the bishops have to be careful here, too. They can't just squash this. They have to use a scalpel. But if you're going to complain about stem cells and this life-saving drug, vaccine, Johnson & Johnson, because of the life issue, then I think it's time to do something more direct. Is there any strategy, anything we could look for that they would do more directly?
Well, I think that I like the people like Bishop Nauman, the Archbishop Nauman, who's in charge of the pro-life the pro-life committee. Cardinal Dolan here in New York is in charge of the pro-life committee. These guys are pretty strong, and I don't think they're going to walk away from this. There is a bit of a fight going on within Catholic circles trying to push back against Gomez, which is why I write what I do to promote what Gomez is doing and Dolan and Nauman and all these other good bishops. Strickland, there's many good ones out there. And more lay Catholics have to speak up because the bishops need our support too. Now, in terms of the Johnson & Johnson thing, yeah, I mean, there are a couple of archdioceses which have raised some questions about it. The Pope and the Vatican themselves early on said that you should get vaccinated. At that time, they're talking about Pfizer and Moderna because it was very remote, any kind of abortion cells going back decades of aborted fetuses. This one might be a little trickier. But like I'm set to get my vaccine on Friday, a Pfizer vaccine. I've already had COVID, so in one sense, it's like a double layer of protection. But yeah, that's probably easier to take on an issue like the vaccine than it is to get into the thick with a guy who's every other day we're told about his devout Catholic status because he carries rosaries. That's all you need to do.
It is stunning. So, Bill, coming up, final area here. How about a prediction then? We're in the first third or so plus of the 100 days. You predict it a little bit longer term. There will come a moment where they'll go to Jill Biden and say, enough, and you guys have to come up with something. What else do you see happening here? Is there any policy, something you're keyed in on that's going to come to a head?
Well, we at the Catholic League have been opposed to two nominees. We were on the winning side on one. Neera Tanden, we didn't want her. We don't want Javier Becerra.
Yes.
And the vote was 14-14 in the Senate Finance Committee. It's going to go to the full Senate. They'll have 4 hours of debate. He may or may not get in. Hopefully he doesn't. And in terms of legislation, since Biden doesn't believe in legislation, he just writes executive orders, which are, the way he's doing it, they really are an expression of legislation. The one that we're gearing up on, of course, is the Equality Act, which we've been opposed to for years. So those are our big concerns. We won on Tanden, Becerra's next, and then Equality Act in terms of law.
I wanted to ask you this strategically because of your mind. It's not just being moral and being on the right page here, but figuring out how this plays with the public. With the Equality Act, you know, if you say guys are going to be in the shower with women, yeah, that does cut through. It's a picture that gets the people, but maybe they think you're making it up. Something that's actually happening, though, I've interviewed these top flight female runners. They're not fooling around. They want to be in the Olympics, those type, that can't beat the males that they have to race against. And how it drives them nuts. Do you think that's a metaphor, a picture for what happens with this that's good?
Absolutely. And I think that eventually we may win on this. I know there's no question about it. The gay community stood behind the transgender, and they've been winning. But I think there's enough common sense and enough people pushing back on this. And now you have women libs organizations, which know that this works against the privacy rights and the athletic rights of girls and women. That's one part of it. But the thing that kills me about the Equality Act, it is unprecedented in American history. Here's a piece of proposed legislation which exempts itself from a 1993 federal law,
right,
the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, so that religious organizations have no exemption. Basically neuters them, basically secularizes them. On that alone, It should be taken out. And I wouldn't be surprised if they try to amend the Equality Act and say we're going to put the religious exemption back in. I would still be opposed to it because I don't think that girls and boys should be showering together. I mean, if it has to be explained to people, then it's too late.
Absolutely. Hey, Bill, thank you very, very much. Thanks for coming on our special today.
Thank you. Thank you. You're the best.
All right. There's Bill Donahue, the Catholic League. Nobody does it better. Coming up, how is the first 30 or 40 days of the Biden administration playing out right here at home and in Pennsylvania, swing state, and in our suburbs? Ahead of the Montgomery County Republicans, Liz Priate-Havey will join us next here on our big special on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
WPHT presents The Road to 100 Days, a close look at Biden's first days in office. Now, here's your host, Dom Giordano.
Hey, welcome in, everyone. So far, we've talked about various lanes of people like Bill Donahue, Liz Peek, taking a look at the first third of the first 100 days that Joe Biden has laid out all these plans on our latest special. Liz Priate-Havey, of course, heads up Republican Party out there in Montgomery County, which is a central swing area, swing state for Biden. How is what he's doing playing out there in the suburbs? We know how that went the last time with President Trump, the empathy factor, all these executive orders. Liz, thanks for joining us. And I guess I would ask, what has surprised you so far about what Joe Biden has done?
Honestly, I'm not surprised at all, right? We were, you know, people were voting for 4 years of Obama policies, and that's really what they're getting. And I really think for suburban voters, from my discussions with lots of people, there are two things that are bringing Republicans back and also helping with independents and some moderate Democrats. One is the vaccine, right? President Biden made all sorts of promises about the vaccine. And on the last day of of Trump, his administration was giving 1.5 million vaccines out a day. We're basically at the same place, right? And suburban voters are not getting vaccinated at a healthy rate, right? Their friends in Arizona and in Florida and everywhere else are getting vaccinated, New Jersey, but we aren't getting vaccinated in Montgomery County. And people are very upset about that. And this COVID stimulus, you know, so-called stimulus package isn't doing anything. There's only $1 million, but very small. I think $1.5 million in there to help accelerate the vaccine distribution. So there's no real plan from Biden to help suburban voters get vaccinated in the timetable that they thought they'd be vaccinated in.
Well, but now, Lizzie said by the end of May, with the new vaccine coming online, if that doesn't happen, that's got to be a catastrophe.
That'll be a catastrophe. But they're already in catastrophe mode, right? Because, you know, he was talking about having everybody vaccinated within the first 100 days and making all sorts of promises that really haven't come to fruition. And actually, we're seeing that people are getting vaccinated in more rural areas for some reason in Pennsylvania than they are in the suburbs. The plan, there's been no plan for our neighbors here in the suburbs. I hear the complaints all the time, and it's across party lines, right? People are very upset. And then they see someone on Facebook who's 16-year-old, got a vaccine, and they're perfectly healthy, yet they're 75 with heart disease and lung problems, and they can't get a vaccine. And they've been waiting now. They registered in the first week, and they can't get a vaccine. Biden's not doing anything to help them on that. The other issue is the schools, right? He isn't doing anything to open the schools. And there's a clear contrast between, you know, Trump's speech on CPAC saying, open these schools, the CDC saying, you know, it's probably more harm to keep them closed than to open them. And Biden just not doing anything about it. And he talks, again, throwing more money at the problem. We're going to give them billions more dollars, these schools, to open. Well, $63 billion has been sitting with these schools and not spent yet from the last stimulus bill. So you're not going to accelerate the opening of schools by throwing more money at it because they have the money and they're still not opening. The fact is that Biden is cozy with the unions. And, you know, you're seeing pushback from moms on all sides. I talked to a mom after I was on the show earlier this week, Dom, an African-American from Norristown, a Democrat, who listened or read about the Trump speech and said, wow, she didn't vote for him, but she said, wow, thank God he's saying that about opening the schools. The Democrats aren't listening, you know? So I think those are the two places where there's going to be some real immediate pushback on Biden and disappointment with Biden in the suburbs.
Well, and this is coming to a head because now we have people, including President Biden, Liz, saying teachers go to the front of the line. I get it to reopen schools, but that the only way it would work for me, and I think people in the suburbs would say the same thing, you get vaccinated maybe at your school and everybody signs up, or the school district says, we are going to be back in person. Otherwise, you don't vaccinate teachers and push them to the head of the line.
I agree completely. With three kids at home, but, you know, the thing is, though, there's so many school districts now that have opened and have done it successfully. You know, I was just talking to a parent from Springford that after a big fight, and of course, Republicans run this school district, they did open the schools completely 5 days a week, wearing masks, obviously, and they've had no problems. Right. And that happened back in January. So schools are doing it. But the Democrats are still, including Biden, are not opening. They're not getting it done. And parents are apoplectic. Right. They're losing jobs. And there are some school districts like those in Norristown where the leadership is saying we may not open in 2022. Right.
What? Happer they said that, them. Liz? I haven't seen.
Oh, yeah. It's on tape. And I think you guys have. Had the parents for in-person education moms on, but
yes,
they'll tell you they've got this stuff on tape. And they're looking to federal leadership, and Biden's just not providing it.
Well, and that gets at, too, a lot of people in the suburbs, women have been decimated from the workforce, or if they have a pretty high-powered job, there's no way they can continue to do this. Does that mean then they start to take a look and say, you know, this just is not working with Democrats? Or I'm amazed, Liz, there's not even more pressure out there on people, because we're coming up on the 1 year anniversary. The science is there, the 3 foot rule versus six. We have three counties now, Philadelphia, I don't count, Bucks, Chester, and Delco, saying kids only have to be 3 feet apart. Teachers don't have to be vaccinated. Where you are, though, Montgomery County, which is very, very progressive now with Valerie Arcouche, they're the ones that are still holding back on this. So what do people say?
Well, you know, we're also the county of a lot of wealth with tons of private schools and right. lots of parents moving from public schools because they can okay. to go to private. Right. Okay. So, you know, I don't think we're going to see a huge shift in the suburbs going back the Republican way. I just don't. You've been seeing the shift away from that for decades. Right. But I do feel like that kind of huge nuclear bomb that went off over the last 4 years that decimated the Republican candidates is going to, you know, very much slow down or come to a halt, right? Because we are going to go back. We are already seeing we're going back to all of the things that turned the country red, right? We're Paris Accord, we're killing the Keystone Pipeline, you know, rejoining the corrupt WHO, getting back in bed with China, you know, opening the borders, and we're going to, you know, cancel culture is raging.
That's what I wanted to ask you about. You know, they don't get this. It's being mocked when Republicans bring up these cultural touchstones. We found out today that Universal Studios down in Orlando is thinking of tearing out the Dr. Seuss part of their park, which would cost millions of dollars. It's not even a book. It's not even anything like that. Where you are, I know it's early on with this. Are people talking about that?
I'm not hearing a lot of that, you know, but I mean, obviously my Republican friends, we all think it's absolutely outrageous. But in terms of, like, you know, the average voter, I think everybody's consumed, you know, the older population's consumed with the vaccine and the younger population's consumed with what's going on in school and school sports. Right. That's really what I hear all the time with suburban voters.
Yeah. And, you know, the word that the Inquirer of all people use, what's going on where you are in Montgomery County and somewhat the other counties, scavenger hunt. That's what this is like to find a vaccine.
Absolutely. Oh, I have a friend in his early 70s who has all sorts of comorbidities. And he said to me yesterday, this is a full-time job for him. That's all he does all day is try to find the vaccine. And basically, unless you have a connection, you're going to be waiting. You're going to be waiting. I was told that they are now on day two in Montgomery County. So if you registered for the vaccine on the first day, you've likely received your first shot. If you registered on day two, right? And when did the registration open? A couple months ago? Mm-hmm. So you're very far away from getting a vaccine if you live in Montgomery County and you relied on their process and registered. So people are driving all over the place. I'm told you can get shots in New Jersey and at the Atlantic City Convention Center. A friend's 16-year-old son got vaccinated. He has no comorbidities, obviously. Healthy as can be. So people are just leaving Montgomery County if they have the ability to do so and getting vaccinated.
So big push, final question for Liz Breaud-Havey here. For you, over the next imminent time, what are you doing? Drilling down on the school board races, to me, are going to be where this comes to a head. And you've been the captain of small ball. Winning those elections is vitally important. You know, everything's not the presidential election. The way you take back the county or get some parity are all these smaller offices.
Absolutely. That's what we're focused on. That's what this year is about, right? There's nothing that's going to be super exciting on the ticket other than I think people will care on the Republican side, at least, about the Supreme Court race, right? We really need to have conservative judges on up and down statewide. So that will be of some more interest than it usually has been in the past. But these school board races and these township supervisor races are ones where they really impact your life, right? You can look at the school boards that are run by Republicans that are safely open and have been in Montgomery County versus the ones that are Democrats that have been completely closed or are offering horrible hybrid like Lower Merion School District, right? The hybrid doesn't work. Teachers don't even know what they're doing from week to week. So it's really important that everybody gets out to vote. We typically do better in off years. So I'm hoping that now, as the Democrats were talking about in the Inquirer this week, the boogeyman is gone, right? Their big driver to turn out their vote for 4 years in these local elections was Donald Trump. Well, he's gone and he's been fairly quiet, right? And so, you know, next year, November comes, I'm hoping that, you know, people are really going to come out from our side and the independents and moderate Democrats are going to be more open-minded voting with us, especially if they want their schools open and if they're upset about the vaccine distribution.
All right, Liz, thank you as always. Good luck with that. Thanks for joining us here on our special.
Happy to be here.
All right, there's Liz Priate-Havey, the head of the Republicans in Montgomery County. Coming up, I'll give you my sense, some predictions, some surprises of what happens next. We're about a third of the way plus through these first 100 days. It seems like 100 years, I know. That's coming up. Dom Giordano and Dan here with our special, The Biden Administration, The First 100 Days, Part 1.
WPHT presents The Road to 100 Days, a close look at Biden's first days in office. Now, here's your host, Dom Giordano.
Hey, thanks everyone for listening to our most recent special. We brought you some great national experts, predictions, surprises around the first third, roughly, of the Biden administration, this vaunted 100 days. And Bill Donahue was particularly on point. I think we've seen no news conference at this point, no State of the Union, very little interaction, and it makes you wonder how severe it is and who's actually running the country. And you're going to see more and more of this with Joe Biden. The thing to watch right now before our next part two of the first 100 days, to me, clearly are the schools. You see Dr. Jill Biden out there. They're trying to prod the schools to open. The schools are still not going to do it. Biden has some of the leverage over them. It's not about money. It's about power. But he's scared to death that they will not open up in 100 days. So they're coming up, prediction, with all these kinds of ways of saying that schools actually have reopened. Surprises? I am not surprised totally, but I don't think Biden is just tilting to the left as a strategy as much as that's what he's being advised to do. No buy-in, none of the Biden stuff. I know how to work the other senators. We know how to get a negotiation, how to get a deal on any of these things. That part is a little bit surprising. You would think for his own benefit he would do it. The hidden thing out there that Bill Donahue and I talked about here in our special were the bishops, the U.S. bishops. How long are they going to let Biden and others talk about all these issues of devout Catholic religion and try to own that and be the most aggressive pro-abortion president that we've had? How long before the pressure mounts on them to take some kind of action to say, no, this is not what Catholic teaching is? So the imminent issue, though, will be the pressure is now ratcheting up to a news conference or State of the Union ought to be easy to do. You just have to walk in, read the teleprompter for 45 minutes. You mean to say that's too hard for this president to do? A news conference? I don't think they're going to do that until maybe this summer on a Friday when no one pays attention, and it's not going to be good. The longer this goes on, the more and more pressure will mount. Why is Joe Biden unable to do these things? And the answer, sadly, is becoming more apparent. Now, we'll have a part two coming up in April when we're at the two-thirds mark, and then a big two-hour special when we get to the 100 days and we give you exactly, in our view, with great national and local experts, what has happened. I know the approval rating appears to be at 60%. I have doubt on that. You're going to see more and more of this in the coming weeks. But again, thanks for listening. Thanks to Dan. Thanks to the station for allowing this. And I love doing these specials. We'll have more coming up in April right here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.